Today on Real Life Radio.
We pause to answer the question, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that Jesus says, the Bible says, is unforgivable? It cannot be forgiven in this world, and it's not forgiven in the world to come.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message now called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, continues his series called The Why Series. You know, if we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious decision and choice that we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, when we listen, and when we pray for the Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. Every day can be a day of passion and fulfillment when we allow the Holy Spirit complete access to our hearts and minds, to pause and reflect on what's really going on inside of us, and to stop to consider what the Holy Spirit really is trying to tell us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the Holy Spirit has passion, has feeling, has emotion. We can bless the Holy Spirit, but by the same token, he can be angered and lied to. But the Holy Spirit's power and influence is what leads us to salvation and guides us with direction and purpose. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I got to tell you, we are now in this portion of the Why series. And why is the Holy Spirit important in your life? That right now we're at a spot where we need to pause. Think about it. Just putting all the brakes on and stopping for a moment for us to do, regarding this Holy Spirit teaching, some inward reflection, some focus on the Bible. And for someone who may be watching or listening right now, you may not be a follower of Jesus Christ. And tonight is very important to you. It's very important to all of us. But if you're not a follower of Christ tonight, you need to be very, very alert. And follow with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to read it a little differently. Tonight we're going to be looking at, listen to this, what is the unpardonable sin? The Bible speaks about an unpardonable sin. And the Bible speaks that it is a specific sin of blasphemy that is committed against a certain person of the Trinity. And I say that specifically because Jesus makes mention, as you'll hear in a moment, that it's not against the Father and it's not against he himself, but it is specifically blasphemy committed against the Holy Spirit, which fits and dovetails perfectly into our series of Wednesday nights in the life of the believer and the Holy Spirit's conduct. Matthew 12, 31. Therefore, Jesus said, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven men. If anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus, it will be forgiven of him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or this world or in the world to come. So here comes the answer. I deliberately read you chapter 12, verses 31 to 32, when Jesus opens up and says, therefore, I say to you, now watch this, take your eyes in your Bible and back up just a little bit to verse 25. He answers this challenge of what is this blasphemy that is unforgivable? Jesus says in verse 25 of chapter 12, Matthew's gospel, but Jesus knew their thoughts, and that's key. He knew their thoughts and said to them, the kingdom of God is, well, every kingdom, he says here, is divided against itself, will be brought to desolation. Now, he's not speaking about the kingdom of God. He's speaking about the kingdom of, or kingdoms, plural, of this world. But specifically, he's going to be talking about Satan's kingdom. Every city or every house that is divided against itself will not stand. Verse 26, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub," that's what they were accusing. You'll see tonight, the Pharisees, the religious leadership of Israel was, they were attributing Jesus's miracles that he was performing with him being in league with Satan and that he was the prince of demons. That's what they believed and that's what they preached. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Exorcist, he's talking about. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? Verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So in your note-taking, mark this down. Tonight, the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. But we pause to answer the question, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that Jesus says, the Bible says, is unforgivable? It cannot be forgiven in this world, and it's not forgiven in the world to come. Jesus himself says this. Very quick way of review. Number one, we looked at who is the Holy Spirit. We learned that he's a person, that he has a will and influence, and that he has feelings and emotions, and you can bless him and you can anger him. We learned that you could lie to him, Acts chapter 5. Number two, where is the Holy Spirit in Scripture? And we saw from the moment of creation in Genesis all the way through to the end of the book of the Revelation, the Holy Spirit is in Scripture. Thirdly, we saw, why is the Holy Spirit necessary in your life? And that is true for the unbeliever in conviction. It's true for the man that's coming to faith in Christ. And it's true for those who are in between and trying to figure out what is it. The Holy Spirit is the one who is at work in this world right now in everyone's life, either convicting them of sin or leading them to Christ or, in fact, having secured a soul for salvation. That's very important. Number four, we looked at how is the Holy Spirit active in your life? And this is something that we're going to bring back later on regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is to be the one that is leading you, guiding you, directing your life. He has purpose for your life. He has meaning for your life. And that's a message that needs to get out more and more at a time like this when people are feeling like giving up on life. That was number five. Tonight, number six, mark it down. Here we go. What is the unpardonable sin? Will you write that down? That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. What is the unpardonable sin? What is this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? So again, look right down at your Bibles very carefully. I'm going to just refocus again. But as we do, look again at verse, let's pick it up at verse 25. Matthew 12, 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, let me set the context up for you. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees and all, the religious hierarchy, they had been dogging Jesus's heels throughout the 3.5 years of Jesus's ministry. Everything that he would do, they would criticize, they would attack, they would go after, and they would not acquiesce to anything that he had done. Constantly bickering, constantly arguing. And the Bible tells us that they did this because of absolute envy. They had an envy that had possessed them that they came to hate Jesus. They wanted what he could do, but they didn't want to experience the relationship of the Father to have that relationship. And Jesus said to them, you do not know my Father and you don't know me. You would have to know me for you to have that relationship with the Father. And that just infuriated them. And so for 3.5 years, we read the gospel accounts of their angst against Jesus. And the key is that he knew their thoughts. So the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, and it's important to note that we need to remember the message of the gospel. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, and that was his earthly ministry as it is recorded in those four gospels. Galatians 4, 4 and verse 5 says, but when the fullness of time had come, in other words, according to God, when everything had been fulfilled that needed to be filled, the next thing on the prophetic calendar clock was this, that God would send forth his son. Listen, there's a qualifier. Born of a woman, so we're talking about his incarnation, that is his God taking upon himself flesh, that's what that means. Born under the law, Jesus was born a Jew. Isn't that amazing? God came to earth and he took on the genealogy of a Jew. By the way, that was prophesied in scripture. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that's all of us, including the Jew, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Christ came at just the right time, this is the gospel, to redeem us back to the Father, in fact, adopt us into the family of God. Let's also remember that the message of the gospel came in power. The gospel message brought the power of God to earth. And Jesus exemplifies and lived that out in his humanity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 says, and I, brethren, says Paul the Apostle, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a powerful statement. Verse 3. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Wow. That means human wisdom employing persuasive words in a spiritual context is anathema to God. Think of that. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What an amazing moment this is, by the way. Here we are at this phase of the really worldwide shutdown or lockdown, and here in America, communities are starting to wake up. There's people that are starting to rebel a little bit. I touched on that on Sunday. But there's the powers that be. There's the municipalities, there's the governments, there's the government leaders. I have to be honest with you, I would not want to be a mayor, a city council, a governor. I wouldn't want to be the president right now. I wouldn't want to be anybody in political power for this reason. They've got an impossible job right now because the buck stops with them in a sense that they don't want to order people back to work because if somebody dies, then someone's going to sue some mayor or some city council. That's ridiculous. And that's insane because people are always going to die. But we can't, but we're also going to die if we don't go back to work. And so we've got to go back to work, but no one's willing to step up and say, here's what we're going to do. Before this scourge was brought into our nation, we're going to go back to normal. So whatever was normal for you was working before this happened. We had the strongest nation, the strongest economy, record low unemployment. We're going to go back to normal and pick it up where we left off. To me, that makes total sense. To me, that's what I'm going to do the best I can. But the leaders of our nation, they're terrified. They want to say that, but they can't say that because they're not going to step up and do the right thing because they're afraid someone's going to sue them or criticize them. And I feel for them. We need to all pray for our national leaders and our local leaders. But the fact of the matter is, someone needs to step up with power and with a reasonable, logical sense of authority and say, listen, let's go back to where we began and pick it up. And that's a great message for the Christian. Let's get back to where we started and pick it up with the power of God and the gospel of salvation. You say, how does that correlate, Jack, with this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Oh, it does. You just wait and see. It sure does. But we can't go any further in our journey regarding the Holy Spirit until we deal with this very important issue of what is the unpardonable sin. Ephesians chapter 4, this is introduction, but once we get in, we'll go pretty quick. Introduction, Ephesians 4, verse 30. Listen to this. Especially listen, if you're a Jehovah Witness right now, you need to listen to this. Because you're taught that the Holy Spirit is not a person. By the way, if you're a Jew tonight and you're watching, you're taught also that the Holy Spirit is not a person. And if you're a Muslim, you're taught that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This is very specific. It's not the Spirit of God. It's capital S, the Holy Spirit of God. This is the Godhead, but it's a very specific member of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This verse is directing right straight to the person of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve. You cannot grieve a street light. You cannot grieve a stop sign. You cannot grieve all of these seats that are here in this great sanctuary. You can't grieve this microphone. You can only grieve a person. And the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, because he can be offended. That word grieve, by the way, lupio in Greek, it means to cause distress upon, to bring grief, to cause sorrow, to make sorrowful the heart of another. To make sorrowful the heart of another. And God says, don't do that regarding the Holy Spirit. So before we can get to the future studies of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the coming upon of the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and why the Holy Spirit is so necessary in our lives, we need to experience the fact that we need to deal with this issue of sinning against the Holy Spirit. Why is it the unpardonable sin? And you might be asking the question, Pastor Jack, have I committed that sin? Maybe you're sitting somewhere in the world and you're wondering, my goodness, did I commit that sin? Did I blaspheme? Did, at some stage of my life, did I speak against the Holy Spirit? Just hang on. It'll be clear. So number one, if you write it down together, this is our sixth installment of this study, but listen, number one, regarding what is the unpardonable sin, will you write this down? It's a long title, it's a long heading, but it's important. It is a sin that is, mark this, beyond Christ's forgiveness. And I'm gonna pause for effect. It's beyond Christ, that's Christ Jesus's act of forgiveness. You say, Jack, what are you talking about? Are you saying that Jesus didn't die for all the sins of the world? Nope, Jesus died for all the sins of the world. Write that down. Scripture makes that very clear. When Christ died on the cross, he died for all of mankind's sins from Adam to the end. But listen carefully. What we're talking about right now is this sin that we're talking about of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is beyond Christ's forgiveness, and we're going to see various reasons. Why is that the case? Christ will not forgive this type of sin or this particular sin. He's never issued forgiveness for it. He will not change that position that he's taken on it. It's an eternal position of God. It is the very nature of God, and that's not going to go away. No matter what you might think or say, it's not going to go away. It's beyond Christ's forgiveness. It's not beyond Christ's ability. It's beyond Christ's will to forgive. He will not do it. There is a line that a man or a woman can cross that is too far. So Jesus Christ himself introduces us to the fact that there's this sin that is beyond his will to forgive. And that comes as a shock to us, but we'll see it in Scripture together as we walk through this. By the way, turn to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And while you're turning there, just keep this in mind, that according to Jesus, the unpardonable or the unforgivable sin is absolutely unique. Okay, it's absolutely unique. In that it is a sin of such a nature that it will not be forgiven of because of what it affects or what it does. You can rob a bank, that's a sin. You can commit sexual immorality, and that's a sin. You can lie, that's a sin. You can fill in the blank, that's a sin. For all of those sins, Christ died. But this sin is something that cuts someone off from the hope of salvation, from the realm of salvation, from the power of God himself to save. And that's a strong statement, and I understand that, but please bear with me through this study. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Judah, no doubt about it, but to Israel and beyond in the word of God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not here or hear you specifically. There is sin in the life of the believer that when we do sin as believers, God stops listening to us. He waits for us to confess our sin. Write it down. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, that's written to the believer, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise given to us by God to every believer. And that forgiveness is to maintain fellowship among God to believer, believer to God, and believer to believer. Communion, fellowship, koinonia with God and family of God. This is not what we're talking about here regarding the unpardonable sin. John chapter 19, verse 14, John 19:14 says, "Now Pilate said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.'" This is at the crucifixion. "And they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?'" Listen to what they said. "The chief priest answered and said this to Pilate." You're going to want to write this down in a moment. "We have no king but Caesar." This is absolutely monumental. The religious leadership, the custodians of the Bible of the Old Testament, when prophecy was standing in front of them, even Pilate, a Roman Gentile, says, "Behold your king." They get furious. And they about lose their mind. Another gospel tells us that they went mad or angry with madness. And they said, "Crucify him." The word, by the way, implies in the original Greek language of the New Testament that they are grinding the teeth, gnashing the teeth with anger. They're so upset. "Away with him, away with him." They're shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And it's almost as though God is trying to speak through Pilate to them and slap them with some reality. "Wait, you want me to crucify your king?" And they said, "Absolutely. Because you know what? Our king is Caesar. And I don't know, but just thinking that in my head, the word coming out of their mouth, these were the representatives of God to the people and the people to God for Israel. And they said, Caesar's our king." They're out of their minds. They've lost it. And you say, why is that so important? Because listen, please get this. This is not denial. These guys are not denying Jesus Christ like Peter did in a moment or a season of weakness. This is not denial. This is absolute flagrant rejection of the doctrine and of the person of Christ and the works of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called "The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5. Glad you could join us today. You know, "The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 5 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and gives us a process where we can logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, just as Pastor Jack said, we need to pause and reflect on what we really believe about Christ and about the Holy Spirit. Are we truly walking with the Lord, or are we letting the world dictate our behavior? And what happens when we sin? Do we know without a doubt that we are indeed going to heaven? These are just a few of the questions that we need to stop and ask ourselves. But don't feel ashamed or embarrassed if you're not sure about the answers. The conflict inside you tells the Holy Spirit that you really want to know and you really want to do the right thing. And if you need extra help, we're here for you. Simply download the Real Life app to your smartphone or tablet. Click your way to the Tools icon. Once you're there, look for the title Real Life Basics and choose from a list of topics that really is sure to renew your confidence about God and His faithfulness. You can access the Real Life mobile app through the App Store or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.